Glen FM presents the Glenmidden Chronicles.
After last night's meal and the fact that Scotty was getting so upset at the thought of the poor only getting 83p from the Queen on Maundy Thursday, a new day has finally dawned, and hopefully things will be a little less fraught.
83p!
Oh, Scotty, would you give it a rest? It is a symbol from the monarchy. I looked it up last night on the internet, I think.
You were on the internet?
Yes, I was. I did a googly and I found that Maundy money is actually specially minted and that it is worth an awful lot of money, not just 1 pence each. So will you please give it a rest?
I will.
Now, what did the captain say about getting Queenie to the turret?
Aye, we've to make sure she's up with Sandy in the radio station at 11 so that he can have her on his show.
Does he know that she's coming?
Well, I told him last night when he was having kittens about who was going to be his guest today. So I hope he remembers and doesn't doze off in the middle of it.
Is Philip going to be with her?
No, he's wandering around the building. I think he's in the hunt for you.
Well, he'd better not try to take advantage of me today. I have my best Lyle stockings on and I don't want to be getting them laddered.
I kind of see what he sees in you.
Scotty, some men recognise beauty when they see it.
I can see your beauties. It's what Elsie sees in you.
Scotty, take your eyes off my bosoms and go and take Queenie to the radio room.
So, as per timetable, Scotty goes off and escorts the Queen up the winding staircase to the turret where Radio Brammer is situated, and Sandy is just about to start his programme.
Sandy, here's your guest for the day.
Good morning. Please take a seat. Now, if you could just give me your name so I can get it right when we are on air.
Elizabeth R.
That's a lovely name. What does the R stand for?
Regina.
Oh well, never mind. Good morning and welcome to Sandy's Cuppa, where today my guest is a lovely lady called Elizabeth. Good morning, Elizabeth, and welcome.
One is pleased to be here.
Now, tell me, Elizabeth, what is it that you do?
Do?
Yes, do. What is your job?
One's a queen. One rules.
That's lovely. How long have you been a queen?
56 years.
Oh, well, you must be getting good at it.
One likes to think so.
And did you always want to be a queen? Or did you maybe have something else planned for when you grew up?
It's in one's blood.
Ah, that's lovely, Eliza. Here's some music and we'll be back in a minute or so with our special guest, Elsie. Well, that record doesn't seem to want to play, so back to my special guest today on Sandy's Cuppa, the delightful Eileen. So tell me, what does your job entail, Eileen?
One holds garden parties, attends Royal Ascot, troops the colours and holds the ceremony of the garter.
That's lovely. Have you brought a garter with you to show us? Sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there. The record has started playing. Well, it's not going very well, is it? Sandy seems to be on his own little world. Does he actually know who is sitting opposite him? Let's hope the captain doesn't get to hear about it.
He said what?
He asked her what she did for a living.
I don't believe this. Where is she now?
Well, after the radio broadcast, Sandy asked her to do some idents for the station and I whisked her away and took her back to her room to lie down.
Have you been conjugating with that queen? I thought you said you were a republican.
I took her to lie down in her ain. Jeez, woman, you're nothing but a steamy-headed hamster.
I just don't want your loyalties getting diverted.
Maggie, is everything prepared for the Cayley tonight? Have you got the buffet in hand?
Everything is fine. I have made some lovely sandwiches with the leftover mince from yesterday's supper. And I've also done a few bridge rolls filled with sardines and anchovies.
Right. Well, that should keep everyone up and dancing. Scotty, what about the drinks?
There's buckfast with the ferry and I managed to get some rhubarb wine that was in the potting shed. It's got a bit of a fur on top, but it should be all right. I mean, it's wine, so the alcohol should have killed only germs and that.
You've managed to keep the Eriski noise away from the drink, haven't you?
Aye, I've hidden it in Maggie's drawers. No one will want to look in there.
I thought my drawers were much heavier than usual. I wish you'd ask before you start rifling through them. My drawers are sacrosanct.
I dinna ken of it done, but they're needing a good clean.
The purser tells me that they've sold 106 tickets for tonight. That means almost all of Tyne Bruach will be here. So I want everyone on their best behaviour.
Easier said than done. I imagine the evening will not be without its incidents. I also imagine the Queen and Prince Philip are not exactly looking forward to it all that much, especially after the incident on the radio.
Philip, that dreadful little man, had no idea who one was. One's face is on stamps, on coins, on money, and he did not recognise one.
Now calm down, my little salmon fillet. You are going to need all your strength to get through this dance thing that old Ponce MacNelson is holding tonight in your honour.
Oh, Philip, shall one say one's head is hurting and that one is sorry but one can't attend?
One better not. He'll only be up here with one of that buxom little swamp hawk's grandmother's remedies. Best to bite the bullet, old girl, and show your face.
He's given one this dance card. Look, it's completely filled with horrible little names of local people. Hamish McSing, the local greengrocer. Murdo McHoolish, the local undertaker. It's all too ghastly. He's even got his own name down for the Gay Gordons.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. It's a wonder he hasn't put his name on my card.
He has, Philip. Look, you're doing the Camp of Pleasure. One thinks that's a Strathspey.
That's what he thinks. Where's that rubber?
The dance is in full swing. The buckfast and the rhubarb wine have gone down a treat, and the locals are all agog at the royalty in their midst. So much so that the local provost has told the captain that he is going to recommend that the Tyne Bruach Lodge Country House Hotel is put on the signpost in the centre of the village.
More wine, Your Majesty?
One really shouldn't. One has had quite sufficiency as it is.
A little glass, then.
Oh, if one must. It is delicious. Have you seen one's husband anywhere?
I think that's him over there doing the Abernethy lassies. I do hope Your Majesty isn't too exhausted after dancing with all those people.
One is used to it. When one was younger, one was never off the floor. One used to jig with the best of them.
I'm sure you did. I'd love to have seen Your Majesty getting jiggy.
Those days have long gone, though, Captain Horatio. One has got older and wiser. One knows that one shouldn't be attempting all those new-fangled moves like that twist thing and that dance of the devil. What's it called again? Ah, yes, the jive.
Indeed. All those up-to-date dances are to be avoided at all costs. I'm pleased to see you keep up with all the youth culture, though.
One has to. One would be a rather sad old queen if one didn't.
One would.
You dance divinely, my dear.
I wish I could say the same about you. You have trampled my feet into the ground and squeezed me so tightly my bosoms are round the back.
I wondered what I was holding onto there. How about you and I going for a little meander round the rockery? I could show you the royal regalia.
Get your hands off me or I'll have my Scotty remove your crown jewels and have them made into a brooch for my old grandmother in bed.
Ah, you little vixen, you little nest of vipers. I love it when you get all aroused.
Well, Scotty, I think the evening has been quite a success. We've got the house on the signpost in the village square. The provost has had a what you please with Her Majesty, and Maggie looks like she's getting on with the Duke at last. Look how she's holding him so tightly round the neck.
Aye, Captain, I never thought you'd pull it off, but you have.
Yes, it'll be sad to see them go tomorrow.
And as if by the magic of the wireless, tomorrow has arrived. The previous evening is now a bit of a blur for some, and the Duke seems to be walking with a bit of a limp. But apart from that, all seems to be well with the world.
Your Majesty, I can't thank you enough for coming and staying with us for the last couple of days. I do hope you enjoyed yourself.
One has had an interesting time. Thank you for the recording of the radio programme. One shall treasure it.
Oh, a pleasure. Ah, I see the Duke is a bit limp today.
Ah, yes. Seemingly your friend Margaret's foot slipped and caught him in the groin last night. Very unfortunate. Philip, get on the helicopter and tell Harry to get the cocktails ready. One's on one's way. Captain, thank you once again for showing us just how the other half live. It makes one so happy to be a queen.
Indeed it does.
And so another happy ending to what could have been a disastrous affair. The queen seems to have enjoyed the jaunt, and Philip has learned never to mess with a good old Barra girl. Where do we go from here? What can be in store for our band of degenerates? Only one way to find out. Tune in next week, same time, same channel, for more of the Glen Midden Chronicle.
You have been listening to the Glen Midden Chronicles, brought to you by Cullen FM. Voices supplied in no particular order by John Wilson, Nick Wakeham, Shona Campbell, and John Grundy. The series was devised by John Grundy and written by Nick Wakeham. This has been an Old Mission House production.